Matthew 28, Psalm 67, and then Matthew, the end of Matthew 28, the Great Commission. This week we are emphasizing missions along with the rest of the churches in our classes, emphasizing each of our missions or commissions as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I mentioned in our prayer tonight, we have Norlin DeGroat with us, giving an update on his work with Mints. And we also, this coming Wednesday evening, have an opportunity to watch a live stream, which will be linked from our website. So we're emphasizing the work of missions this week. And so in light of that, we turn our attention to Psalm 67 and then to Matthew 28. But before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 67. We begin with verse 1, and let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And now turning over to the end of Matthew 28, we'll begin reading with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, as I mentioned earlier this week, we are emphasizing missions, the mission that we are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that commission that Christ has given to us. And here in Psalm 67, the beginning of this psalm, you hear an echo of that blessing that we have often at the end of our worship service, that blessing from Numbers, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up to you and give you peace. And you hear that echoed here in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Here's the blessing that is being poured out on the people of Israel, God's people. But it doesn't end there. Because this psalm mentions the overflow of Israel's blessing as the spread of life-giving hope and knowledge begins to go even further than Israel. It's the saving power of God as it's made known to not just Israel, but to all the nations. And so in that way, Psalm 67 is not only a prayer, but it's a prayer of a great vision. When it mentions all, it's mentioning that God as the Lord, whom every tongue must confess, Notice throughout the psalm that emphasis on all and that emphasis on every. All nations, all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. See that emphasis. And then years later, after Christ's resurrection, we have him giving that great commission. And once again, there is that emphasis on all with his great commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. If you are here tonight and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this great commission of Matthew 28 is your commission, your calling. This is what Jesus is saying to you as we work together to lead people to the faith, sharing the gospel with them through the preaching of the gospel, bringing them into the fellowship of the church through baptism, and continuing to walk alongside them, teaching them, growing with them, and leading them in all that Christ has commanded us. And as we do this calling, fulfill this calling, this commission, the promise that we're given is from Jesus Christ himself, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Our theme tonight is that we make disciples of all nations, because Christ has all the authority and is always with us. And as you look at this great commission, you notice the word all. Jesus possesses all authority. He sends us to all nations, and he promises to be with us always. And those will be the three points that we look at this evening as we consider Matthew 28 and Psalm 67. First, all authority, and then all nations, and we'll wrap up with all ways. And so first, all authority. When we look at Matthew 28 here, imagine the situation. Jesus has just risen from the dead. And if you look back a little bit to 28 verse 10, then Jesus said to them, these are the women who had come to the tomb, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So he's telling these women, do not be afraid. He's just risen from the dead. Go and tell my brothers, meet me in Galilee. We get to our passage, verse 16, and here we have the 11 disciples. 11 disciples minus Judas. They went to Galilee, where Jesus had told them to go, and the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples after his resurrection from the dead is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, what does he mean when he says that? What does that mean, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ? Well, as we think about the meaning of that statement, that powerful statement, what we need to realize is, on the one hand, Jesus has just risen from the dead. Think about the significance of that. Think about what Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. So after the resurrection, Jesus is no longer the man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Now he is the resurrected Lord and Savior of heaven and earth. He is the one with all authority in heaven and on earth, the Lord of heaven and earth. And it's in that light that he is coming with this announcement, this commissioning, this calling for all of his disciples, all of his followers. Now, when we think about the kind of authority that Christ is claiming as his own, whenever Scripture talks about authority, it usually means a spiritual authority and power. You can think about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So there you have one of those expressions of the kind of authority we're talking about here. Here, Ephesians 1 also describes the reality behind this statement of all authority has been given to me. Ephesians 1 verse 19 through 21, that power is like the working of his mighty strength. This is talking about God's power, included in our prayer of illumination, which he exerted in Christ. So it's talking about the power that was displayed in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, a position of authority in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Here Christ is saying, I am the one with all authority in heaven and on earth, both now and in the age to come. I'm the one sitting in that position of authority at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms, and I am telling you as my followers, as my disciples, as my subjects to go and make disciples. And that's why we here today, we here sitting here this evening, we make disciples of all nations. Because Christ has all authority. Because Christ is always with us. And because this is the calling that Christ has given to us as his followers. Jesus is the reason we accept this commissioning. His authority is what's backing this calling that we have. It's the foundation, the reason for what he says next. Therefore, go and make disciples. Why do we make disciples? Well, because Christ has all the authority. He's the one calling the shots in heaven and on earth. And here are the marching orders. Because he has all authority in the first hand, secondly, we go and make disciples of all nations. Secondly, Jesus is telling his disciples here, his followers, he's telling them to disciple, to make disciples of all nations. Jesus came first to Israel, first to the Jew, but now this mission has expanded to the Gentiles as well, all of the nations of the world, every people, every tribe, every nation. Now think about this for just a moment. We are here today. We are here this evening, sitting here this evening, as Christians believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because this great commission was obeyed by other Christians. Go and make disciples of all nations. We're here tonight because they obeyed that calling, that commissioning. We aren't Jews. We're not Israelites. I mean, think about your last name. It's not very Jewish, most likely. They went. They obeyed the calling, the mission, the commission of Jesus Christ, and they went to all nations. And we're here tonight as the fruit of them obeying this call. We are disciples here tonight because this calling, this commissioning was obeyed. And now, as Christ's disciples, as followers of Jesus, we are given this commissioning to go and make disciples. Not only have we experienced the fruit and the blessing of this commission, but now we are the ones who are called to go and obey this great commission, to go out to all nations. Go and make disciples. Go and make followers of Jesus Christ. The central command here, the main commission is make disciples. Now, what does that mean exactly? What does it mean to make a disciple? What is a disciple? Well, in Matthew, a disciple is both a learner and a follower. Both a learner and a follower. A disciple takes Jesus as his teacher and learns from him and follows Jesus. And this isn't a one-time, temporary, one-semester kind of thing. This is lifelong learning and following. The life of discipleship. The life of following Christ. A lifestyle of following Christ. And as we think about what that means for us and this calling of go and make disciples, something we need to understand is the length of this process of making a disciple. It's not just getting the people to the point of accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, as wonderful and as amazing as that is. It's not just us getting them to the point of making a decision for Christ or even just praying a believer's prayer with them and then, oh great, we're done, mission accomplished. No, it's a lifestyle of walking alongside them as you follow Christ with them, discipling them. Making disciples of Jesus is more than just a moment. It's a much more intensive and tougher calling than that. The essential commandment here is not just to tell people about Jesus or even a command to just preach the gospel or grow your church or make converts. These are all part of the Great Commission. But what is central, what is at the core, what is deeper is the commanding us to make disciples. And it's not just a command that's given to our missionaries. Oh, yeah, those guys we take offerings for and we send money and we send them to those other countries in the world. They're doing this thing, this making disciples of all nations. It's not just the pastors who went to seminary and are ordained ministers of the word. This command, this commission goes out to each and every one of us who professes Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Go and make disciples of all nations. Pastor Daniel Doriani explains it like this. He says, to make disciples is to lead new believers to maturity, so they understand and follow Jesus. The life of a disciple is different because of their attachment to Jesus. It's a wholehearted commitment to a person. You are investing in that person's life, and you are inviting them to follow Christ with you. So how do we do this? How do we make disciples? Well, Jesus tells us go, by going. Now often we think, well, when we're told to go, we need to go long distances, different countries. We think about going and making disciples of all nations. Right away we think of our missionaries, whether they're in Mexico or Africa or Eastern Europe or wherever they're at. They are the ones who have gone and they're telling people about Christ. But that doesn't end there. It's not just for our missionaries who are in foreign countries. This is God's word for us as well. We are the ones who have now heard the good news, the gospel message. We have heard this great commission and are the ones who are called, commanded to go. Like I mentioned, the main command is to make disciples. We aren't told how far we have to go. We aren't told to go to a foreign country. Maybe it's our work. Maybe it's our neighbor. Maybe the going means walking across the street or across the schoolyard, across the campus. Jesus is telling his followers to go and make disciples with the emphasis on the making disciples, investing in their life, building a relationship with those who are not followers of Christ, praying for them and looking forward to opportunity, praying for opportunities to share the gospel, looking for the opportunities to share the gospel of Christ. It's a willingness to have that often intimidating and scary conversation as you share your faith, as you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. Go, we're told. Secondly, we make disciples by baptizing. Now, what does baptizing have to do with making disciples? Well, one, Jesus tells us it has something to do with making disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What baptism is it's a mark of belonging. It's the beginning of a life with Christ. You have gone, they have turned, committed their life to Christ, and baptism is that mark, being baptized into the name, marked with the covenant, belonging to Christ. Being a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. The new disciple is baptized, but that's just the beginning of their life, the beginning of their walk with Christ. They're also taught to observe all that I have commanded you. That's the third thing. So go, baptize, and by teaching. Taught to observe not only education for knowledge sake, but also living this out in our lives. Living out what we know. Living in a way that pleases God, but by making disciples. Now the Greek word here for everything, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, everything I have commanded you. The Greek word there means that we must teach disciples to obey every last thing that Jesus teaches. All, everything that Christ commands. They're learning what it means to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. And we are the ones walking alongside them, following them as we follow the Lord together. Now what does that look like? Well, let me give you one example. One small facet of what it looks like to make disciples so you have an idea of the length and breadth of what Christ is calling us to here. In our baptism form, we ask parents, do you promise in reliance on the Holy Spirit and with the help of this Christian community to do all in your power to instruct this child, your child, in the Christian faith, and to lead him by your example to be Christ's disciple, to be a follower of Christ. This is what the Great Commission is getting at, making disciples, making followers of Christ. But it doesn't end with just the parents. Do you, the people of the Lord, promise to receive this child in love? Pray for him, help instruct him in the faith, teaching them, and encourage and sustain him in the fellowship of believers. And we answer, we do, God helping us. We make this promise to disciple with every baptism. Does this kind of discipleship involve just sharing your faith or telling your kids about Jesus just once? Does it involve just praying with them once, a believer's prayer? Once they accept Christ as their Savior, they're good, we're done. No. You are raising and training your children to love and serve the Lord. Discipleship is a lifestyle. Now take that from us and our children and our calling there and apply it to whoever God brings into our life and calls us to disciple. Come alongside as I follow Christ along with you. Make disciples of all nations. What does this look like for you and the coworker that the Lord has brought into your life? Or your neighbor? Or the friend who says they are Christian? Someone the other day said, well, everyone in Sioux Center is a Christian. Oh, okay. Christian. Are they a follower of Christ? Are they a disciple of Christ? Do you even know? And what would it look like for you to invest in their life and invite them to have that relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to live that out? It's a hard calling. It's a scary calling. It's an intimidating and frightening calling and commissioning. And that's why the last thing Jesus tells us as he gives his disciples this commission is a promise. He gives us a promise as we strive to fulfill this calling. And here's that promise, third and finally. And surely I am with you. And behold, pay attention to this. I am with you always to the end of the age. People of God, no matter what we face in obeying and living out this calling that the Lord has given to us, No matter what authorities, no matter what powers of this dark world, no matter what spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, the one we serve and follow, Jesus Christ, is the one who has all the authority. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to fear. Far above our rule and authority, Christ has all power and dominion and every title that can be given not only in the present age, not only now, but also in the future, in the age to come. And it is this Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us, who says, I am with you always. Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. A promise to be with us always, with his presence, with his power, with his authority, as we go and fulfill this calling. And notice that he doesn't say, I will be with you. Once you muster up the courage to go across the street and talk to that guy, then I'll be with you. No, he says, I am right now with you, and I will always be with you. We aren't left alone to figure this out on our own, do the best we can on our own. Instead, we have Jesus with all of his power and authority who is with us as we strive to obey the calling that he's given to us, the commissioning that he's placed on our lives as his followers, as his disciples. And that's why we can pray, Lord, open my eyes to those you have in my life who need to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, help me to see the harvest that I've been overlooking. Lord, give me the words to say as I share my faith, as I come alongside someone, as I invest in them, and as I invite them to be a disciple of Christ. We have his strength, people of God. We have his spirit. And we have his promise to be with us always to the very end of the age. All authority, all nations, always. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes to those you have placed in our life who need to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to see that the harvest is plentiful. Help us to see the harvest we've been overlooking. Give us the words to say as we share our faith, as we walk alongside someone, invest in their life, and invite them to be your followers, to be your disciples, as we fulfill this commission by your power and authority. As the gospel goes out to all nations, and as we rest on your unfailing promise that you are always with us to the very end of the age. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.